The multiple award contract vehicle has been a favorite for many years because it offers agencies a group of pre-approved vendors competing for task orders. Such vehicles can speed up acquisition. But Bloomberg analysis of the latest contract data shows a shift away from MACs and toward single award contracts. This trend has implications for both government and contractors. Paul Murphy is a senior data analyst at Bloomberg Government, and he joins me now with more of what's going on. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Can you hear me?
I sure can. And we should point out in the beginning that Paul Murphy has been analyzing federal procurement data for probably 30 years, back when people used to, you and your wife loaded CDs into crates to mail on your dining room table.
You have a good memory, Tom.
All right. So with respect to MACs, what caused them to rise in the first place?
Well, I think particularly the Afghanistan and Iraq wars between 2005-2012 led to generally the increased adoption of indefinite delivery vehicles, and MACs are a form, a key form of indefinite delivery vehicles. And of course, with MACs and IDVs, generally you can order any quantity of goods, within stated limits, at any time. And during wartime, in particular, this is very important because requirements are uncertain, they change. And delivery schedules change, so governments need that kind of flexibility. But there's other reasons as well that MACs became so important during this period. I think by identifying a group of pre-selected vendors that can compete for task orders, they reduce the cost of competition. They increase competition, actually, by breaking up large contracts into separate tasks and being able to compete those tasks separately. So they can also reduce the cost of delivered goods and services with increased competition. They can increase the speed of award, and in part because they limit protests, which can hold up the delivery of needed services. And also, over recent years, they've also proven to be an effective way to direct money to small businesses. I think, in part, the government's achievement of their small business goals in the last couple of years has been a direct result of increased spending on small business MACs.
So that would be, for example, like the Alliant at GSA. They had an Alliant Full and Open, and they also had an Alliant Small Business version, almost like twin government-wide acquisition contracts.
Absolutely. It's one of the successes, I think. And also, 8A Stars, contracts like 8A Stars and Vets have seen a lot of spending on them as well directed to small business.
All right, then. So why then is the, you call it MAC fatigue, is happening. Why is that all of a sudden? I mean, you mentioned the wind down of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but that would be for the contracts awarded by the militaries for overseas operations. But the rest of the MACs are right here for normal agency business.
Well, a lot of the spending is actually in support of the wars is stateside in CONUS. So we are seeing a lot of the decline in MACs, coming from the Department of Defense. Just to sketch the broad parameters, in 2010, MACs IDVs generally accounted for 53% of all contract spending, and it's dropped to 50%. Of all spending in 2014. And during that same time, MACs fell from 31% of spending down to 27% of spending. So MACs and IDVs seem to be rising and falling together in recent years. But there's other reasons for MAC fatigue. For one thing, MACs have become less selective. When you have thousands of vendors on vehicles like Seaport and dozens of vendors on vehicles like Soup and Oasis, agencies are recognizing that there can be little difference between an unselective MAC and a full and open competition. Also, MACs may charge a fee that discourages usage, and agencies are scrambling for any way to save money. And some of these fees for interagency usage of multiple award contracts can add up to millions of dollars. So they're looking at this as saving fees as a way of saving budget money. And finally, MACs can force buyers to follow rules or limit the scope of requirements in ways that don't really fit an agency's needs. And some contract officers, we have them here in our office, have mentioned that standalone contracts are being revisited as a way to tailor the requirements of contracts to their specific needs.
And you mentioned also the size of some of these multiple award contracts with in terms of how many vendors they have. Partly, hasn't that been a response to the threat of protests? They say, well, all right, if you're going to protest, come on in. You might as well be on there. Everybody else is kind of thinking. And then that seems to then undermine the power of the MAC altogether.
Yeah, and you know, the idea of the Mac, of course, is to try and limit protest and speed the delivery of these vehicles, and yet we are seeing, you know, increase in protest because in part, you know, these Macs have become so substantial, so large that, you know, it's a lot of, you know, companies have invested so much money in the pursuit of these Macs that it's become an all or nothing thing that they feel, you know, compelled to protest, particularly, you know, up front, protest the terms of the Mac and the way the contract, you know, is being prepared, not just the tasks but the, you know, the actual contract itself they're protesting.
And given the scope and buying power of these Macs, then I guess for many vendors, if you were not on the correct vehicle for the correct period of time, you could really sense that in market share, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And so that's why I think the increase in spending on standalone definitive contracts that we're seeing in the last couple of years is a real opening of a door for, you know, companies that, you know, may have not gotten on vehicles that, you know, they wanted to get on. Or it's also especially good for small businesses that, you know, have not been in the market before, you know, that you don't necessarily, with the increase in spending on definitive contracts and purchase order contracts, you don't necessarily need, you know, to be on a vehicle to pursue some of these opportunities.
We're speaking with Paul Murphy. He's a senior data analyst at Bloomberg Government. So this relative decline in Macs in favor of full and open competitions and single awards is not really driven by the contractors, it sounds like, so much as being driven by contracting officers in the government.
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I, Tom, have been around, you know, for a while, and I think we've seen, you know, the advent of, you know, IDVs, you know, with the you know, reforms back in the mid-90s, Clinger-Cohen, and the encouragement of, you know, pursuit of multiple award schedules and GWACs, and we've seen the rise of these vehicles, in part because, you know, the government was seeking, you know, to save money and do more with less. Remember the Golden Hammer Awards and so forth. And so, you know, the 1102s, you know, the contract officer series of employees, you know, was trimmed back, you know, substantially, in part, you know, because, you know, they felt that they could do more with, you know, these multiple work contracts and not having to issue so many full and open competitions. But, you know, we may be seeing, you know, this, you know, cycle come back around again with, you know, the increased interest in, you know, definitive contracts, you know, because they are, you know, providing the advantages we've spoken about.
So in the meantime, if agencies are trending a little bit more toward open awards and open competition, for vendors, what do they need to do in terms of altering their marketing strategy so that they can be known to agencies doing this? And how can they get the visibility they need across the government to make sure that they know about solicitations and can participate when you don't have a Mac to go to?
Well, in part, I think you just have to be prepared for anything. You know, they could decide to, you know, cancel a Mac. You know, I think they just announced, you know, they're reconsidering DHITS now because they think that, you know, that might be duplicative. And at the same time, you know, we may be in a pause that, you know, there's you know, probably going to be increased spending on OASIS right now with the commitments that the Department of Defense has made to that vehicle. So, you know, companies really need to, you know, stay on top of their intelligence, watch trends in the markets. You know, we've seen, you know, declines in Mac spending on things like new construction over the last 5 years. Telecom equipment has seen declines in Mac spending. Professional services has taken a big hit, 18% down. You know, but at the same time, we're seeing, you know, increases in Mac spending on medical equipment, real property maintenance, you know, quality control testing. Medical services is way up. So I think, for my money, you know, the government is investing a lot in its existing inventory, its existing equipment, its existing property, you know, in part to, you know, get the most use out of, you know, what they've already invested in. Maybe a little bit less emphasis on the new equipment, the new hardware. So I'd be looking for increased Mac spending, you know, in these maintenance areas.
All right. So, yeah, so you really have to follow the trends by commodity then to really understand where the most popular contracting vehicles then really are.
Yes. And also the history of, you know, the agencies contracting with, you know, particularly small business can have, you know, a big impact. You know, if you're seeing agencies with that are achieving their small business utilization goals, that's a good indication, particularly for small businesses, that they've got experience, you know, with, you know, the kinds of vehicles that are driving money to small businesses. So there's a lot of, you know, interesting nuances in the data that can be exploited to advantage for, you know, companies, you know, looking to enter the federal marketplace.
I mean, because a lot of companies are using business development in the traditional way to try to get agencies to have knowledge about their products for when the day comes that they might need something along those lines. Is that still the basic good tool as a way to do business development?
Oh, absolutely. The data is key, in my opinion. I think we can't speak enough to the importance of data, making data-driven decisions. Positioning yourself in the marketplace. Studying the contract vehicles, the agency trends, the socioeconomic trends. Regional spending. We just came out with a study about spending by military base. We've figured out how to geocode the spending by facility around the country, and you can see real every facility, every agency, but also, the facilities that they maintain, has its own procurement fingerprint, if you will, procurement profile. And, taking advantage of these trends is critical to success in the federal marketplace.
But it seems like one type of contract, and that is the big IDIQ for large quantities of a single commodity, that's pretty much gone by the wayside. The Desktop 3, Desktop 4 eras, now I'm really dating myself, in favor of BPAs across existing vehicles. That seems to be the way of the 21st century. And do you think that'll ever change back again?
Oh, these contracts come in and out of favor. I think that, the BPAs, providing an extra, level of competition and price competitiveness, they'll prove popular for a while. I think, there's a lot of emphasis on strategic sourcing right now, between the DoD taxonomy and this new, category management initiative at GSA. There's a lot of initiatives to, get the best prices and do that through strategic sourcing. BPAs will prove popular. Having said that, the IDVs have declined a bit. In fact, they still constitute about 50% of overall contract spending, and they're definitely not going to go away. I think they're trying to find ways to streamline the use of these contracts, through category management and strategic sourcing, and optimize the pricing with the the procurement processes they have in place.
Well, water seeks its own level, and somehow that $400 billion will get out every year one way or another. Paul Murphy is a senior data analyst at Bloomberg Government. Great having you on.
Tom, good talking to you.
And it's easy to share this interview.